Welcome back. We're here at the Famous Monsters podcast, covering everything.
Evil stairs!
Covering everything fan-based from horror, sci-fi, and fantasy. We have come back 2 weeks ago from San Diego Comic-Con, which was a crazy trip. And I have with me Eleni.
Hi.
Phil.
Hey.
Chase.
What's up?
Of course, I'm George. And it was a crazy experience for all of us. But for those who are lucky, there was some nice talk about the second season of The Exorcist, which has been an amazing, crazy show. Second season comes back this September 29th. We're all pretty pumped about it. Luckily for us, some of us haven't been watching it all that much because of all the other things that we try to get prepared. And we're always like, oh, the movie comes out. So we have some people like Eleni who have actually watched the first season, luckily. Yeah. What can you tell us about it so far?
It's a really amazing sort of like new adaptation that goes off of the original movie. It takes place in the same universe. I can't really say how in case for those who haven't seen it.
Spoil us.
Okay.
They had a whole year to watch season one.
That's fair. Okay.
So, messed up.
What it was like, is it a new sexier Linda Blair character? And she's like...
Anyway, no, it actually, the main, you don't realize that the main family is actually Reagan's family until you get pretty far into the season. Like, it takes like most of the first season to even reveal that. And so it just kind of seems like this new family that is sort of like a power player, like in their city, works really closely with the church. Super religious, and so one of the daughters starts getting possessed, and so they're working with a couple priests on the exorcism. It kind of plays off.
So what does that look like? Like, does she start, like, you know, saying bad words?
I mean, it's actually pretty hardcore. Like, there's not just like one singular demon. It's like, as they kind of go through the city, you see that there's like homeless people are possessed like crazy, and
of
like
they are.
We're not in California.
No. Okay.
But there's a ton of demonic activity, and it kind of does a little bit of a riff off the original because there's an inexperienced priest who is like pretty genuine and really wants to help this family. And then there's like a sort of embittered, actually like alcoholic, like older priest who has experience with exorcism. So it kind of...
So like every priest I've ever met.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. Exactly. I'm kidding. I grew up Catholic, so I apologize. I'm a recovering Catholic. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. No more from altar boy Phil. Okay.
So you kind of think that it's just like this family that is kind of going through this, and the demon has randomly possessed this girl until you find out that she's actually Reagan's daughter. And Reagan has been going by a different name because her mom, if you remember the movie, is like a big celebrity, wrote a book about their whole experience and then kind of took her on like a book tour and sort of took over her entire childhood by turning her into the girl that was possessed and turned it into like a PR kind of thing. She profited off of it basically, and she wanted to distance herself from it, so she changed her name, and no one in her family knew that that girl was actually her until you find out like way later.
So wow, that's interesting. So basically, so I just want to kind of go through the world. So basically, Reagan gets possessed, spits out pea soup, gets her spine twisted and wrapped around in a circle, and then her mom went to sell t-shirts off this. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, after they exercise it, basically she...
Sounds right. That's what happens with all kinds of... Like,
wow, so she's like a stage mom.
Yeah, and she's actually in it. Like, the mom comes in as a character later who has been totally estranged from her family because Reagan was basically like, I don't want you in my life because you profited off of the worst thing that ever happened to me. And now it's happening to my daughter, too.
So this is Gina Davis's character that you're speaking of then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so
Gina Davis is the mother.
Yeah,
she actually plays Reagan. She just is going by a different name. Wow. And it's her daughter who is possessed.
This is a great cast.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Because me and Chase started watching it pretty much recently.
Yeah.
And now knowing like how how she acts in the beginning, it's like, wow, she's very attuned to the whole demon thing. Like, yeah, she's free talking about, like, that, like, it's whatever.
She's like, this seems like something's going on. It's like, how do you know? Like, how do you know it's, like, not just your kid having a mood swing? It's like, yeah, hormones. Like, no, demons.
Yeah, because she went, like, really hardcore. She's like, I'm 100% sure this is an exorcism. You right? have to exorcise her right now. Like, she's possessed. And he's like, whoa, okay, like, calm that doesn't really happen that much. She knows from experience. So it kind of explains what seems like crazy, overprotective mom.
Or just bad writing. Well, no, I mean, seriously, yeah. It's like when you see those movies, like, I don't, you know, I won't say it, but, you know, those things that transform. It's like, well, you know, it's like, how do you know that? But mm-hmm. now that makes sense. That,
yeah.
I like it when something seems to start out like, what? And then yeah. like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. The show, the way that they wrote it is, like, really, I feel like it's really smart, and it really, like, it, you can tell it's for the fans of the, like, original movie, because it plays into all the good parts of it and then expands it. Because each episode is kind of like a small movie in itself, and then it just goes on and on, like, for the full season.
So I have to admit, like, I have never seen this show. I want to see it mm-hmm. now, but so I'm gonna be the audience that didn't see it. So uh-huh. I'm gonna represent them.
Uh-huh. We got a nice little bit of levels. Like, she's actually watched most of it. We started watching it, mm-hmm. and you're the newcomer.
Yeah, right? No, I'm totally, like, when I first saw Exorcist, you know, mm-hmm. this was back in the 70s. I was like, my parents are great parents, but what they were thinking.
Wait, did your parents let you actually go to the theater and watch this?
Well, you know,
because they would have to take you, because it was like rated X back then.
It was my sister. It was my sister. So what would happen is my sister was 16. And this is like late 70s. There were no laws. Mm-hmm. Ever. Like, there were no laws. It was just like cavemen and then, no. So my sister, who was like my best friend at the time, she was 16 and I was like 9 or 10. She'd be like, just pretend, you know, go under the covers and just be in the back seat. And she would take me to drive-ins. Man, I gotta tell you, I mean, if I were to have gotten a psychologist, it'd be a lot of money explaining what happened to me. But, you know, because you got six screens, and I'm watching, like, what's her name? Policewoman. Remember the lady who played Policewoman? You know who I'm talking about. She would play all of these kind of, a lot of, like, exploitative movies, and that was being played on one screen.
Was it, like, Pam Grier?
No. Well, it was in that era. She was... She was the blonde Pam Grier, and then, you know, you'd have like Camp Boy or Sleepaway Camp. I mean, yeah. you would. I'm like 9 years old. I'm going, this is the best place ever. And then I would see some of what was in front of me. But that's when I saw Exorcist, and I was like, I was so terrified. But I loved horror movies. Like, I watched Carrie, mm-hmm. and it was so frightening. Like, I just shoved my head behind, like, the couch, and or not the couch, but the cushions in the couch, and I fell asleep, and then I, like, wake up sweating right at the scene where she's, like, all bloodied up at the and I mean, I'm surprised, like, there are no dead bodies in my
basement, yeah. backyard.
That's a good sign, because I'm guessing that would happen with a lot of our families.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of this. Did you see it like that? Tell, like, oh.
A lot of us kind of started in when we were really young. It's like, probably shouldn't be watching this, but yeah. Now we love it.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
Well, if you don't end up becoming a serial killer, you end up becoming a famous monster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. A or B.
Jury's still out for George, so I don't know.
I haven't gotten caught yet.
There you go.
That's what matters.
In my eyes, you haven't done it then.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
If they don't find the body, was they really... No, how's it going?
What
the
body?
Forest? Anyway, never mind.
See, that's what I like, is that most people I know watched the movie at a young age, whether you mm-hmm. watched it when it came out in the theater or if you were born in the 80s, 90s, whatever. Like, everyone mm-hmm. for some reason watches The Exorcist or Exorcist films, like, at, like, oh, I was 5 years old or whatever.
Right.
You know, like, my mom watched it when she was a kid. Her grandmother took her to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's... Mm-hmm. And this is a super religious woman, I might add. all right, and who also practice like Santeria and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And
she's like, lesson.
Yeah, she's like, yeah. Okay,
she thought it was a documentary.
Probably. But she took her to watch it, and she was scared, like, pretty much shitless. I was like, mm-hmm. Why would you want to see this? And my mom's like, a little kid's like, a big box of popcorn. It's like, this is great. Yeah. More blood. Yes, please. My mom was a weird person, hence why I came out the way I came out. Okay. But, but she loved it so much.
Federal government.
Yeah, yeah. She takes care of all of our taxes. But and she loved it, and then I was born, and 5 years later, she's like, I loved this when I was a kid. Now I want you to see it. And I must have been an odd child, because growing up from like 5 on, I've watched it many times. I love this movie, mm-hmm. And for some reason though, I found it hilarious. Like the weirdest parts, so like when she's like telling the priest, like, your mother sucks on the hills, you know. And I was like, she told him her mother does bad things. This is great, you know. But at the same time,
neighborhood that you were around. No, I'm kidding.
I don't know. I was born in an all white neighborhood. I was the only Spanish guy. So yeah, maybe that was it.
Yeah,
maybe.
No,
I can kind of get that though, because it's so like over the top that it's almost kind of comical. Yeah. Like she, like you said, she's literally spinning pea soup, and it looks like the
rappers
stuff that you see on
like that though.
Yeah,
well, yeah, but that's like, you kind
in,
of
in
like
the 80s a rapper's going to talk about that. Yeah. Right.
You expect that. You don't expect some little girl just being like, your mother sucks.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
My
she's
goodness.
Taking the crucifix and putting it in place. And she's like, oh, this is an edgy film.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, when I watched this, this was rated X. And now you're watching it and it's rated R.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's it like, when your kid watches it, it'll probably be PG-13. Who knows?
Yeah. You know, they wouldn't even rate Night of the Living Dead when it first came out. They wouldn't. And when Romero used to go to, and you know, God bless his soul, truly, when he used to go to. You know, because, you know, back in the 60s, it wasn't like now where if you're not out on the red carpet in front of a step and repeat 2 seconds after your movie's out, nobody cares anymore because it's torrented by a million and a half people. Yeah. Back then, you were able to, like, go on a tour with your movie, especially the independent films. Mm-hmm. You would go and contract these. They weren't even called art house. There was no such thing as art house films back then. What they were like, I don't want to call them Nickelodeon, but second run theaters.
Yeah,
they would also play the independent movies. So, yeah, I mean, they would the ratings, like, they didn't even know what to do with this because it's like zombies eat, like, they'd never seen anything like
movies
that.
Movies like these were so edgy, and no one ever seen stuff like this before. People was being dismembered like
that. Yeah, yeah. Well, they considered George Romero pornographer. Back then. Yeah.
And I mean, even with The Exorcist, there were like people fainting, like in the theater, like reports of people like losing their minds and like passing out in the movie theater because they were like so afraid.
Yeah, it was like the first Hostel.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? I mean, if you think about it, society was so different. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were so different that. You know, a movie that now is a television show was like rated, you know, X, and people were passing out. It's, amazing.
Yeah.
We've come a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the thing that really made us want to talk about this stuff is like me and Chase often have conversations about Exorcist movies for some odd reason. I don't know why. And we heard that Eleni was such a fan.
Oh my God, they're my favorite.
You mentioned the film. Because of The Exorcist, it spawned many exorcism films over the past like 20 to 30 years, many that probably weren't as good, and then some of those that we kind of just don't even, because we've seen so many bad ones, like, well, I don't want to give this other one a chance, but there's some really good golden ones that float by, and there's one that you liked that people kind of just don't talk about for some reason.
Yeah, one of them, it's actually one of my like top two favorite horror movies. See, I gotta clear my throat, everyone prepare.
Oh no.
There it is.
Okay. For sure, that didn't cover anything. I think we got all that.
I tried. The Last Exorcism.
That's one
and
of my favorites,
too. Don't confuse that with, like, The Last like the last part of the Exorcism series? Like, no, it's the movie is called The Last Exorcism. I always feel like when I say that,
that's not the one with Emily Rose, right?
No, the Exorcism of Emily
Rose is another really good one.
That's a pretty good one, too, yeah.
I love
there's, like, there's, like, three or four Exorcism of... fill in some girl's name.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then this one's
Netflix.
Just called...
It's always a girl. Girl's a little hot. probably a little
too young.
Well,
it's because it's creepier,
young.
Probably.
And then, you know, they're, like, literally bending backwards. And, well, and they're like, that's not that. Attractive. I'm done. Yeah.
Well, that's the whole idea.
Well, that's yeah. it.
There's obviously the cool a sex cell situation.
Yeah. yeah. But the cool thing about The Last Exorcism is that it kind of needed to be a girl because it had to do with, like, this weird sort of, like...
Like the cult kind of action like, going on with it.
Yeah. yeah.
And something that's, like, I really like it because in a lot of the movies, they have this kind of, like, falling away from the faith and coming back to it kind of thing with uh-huh. exorcism movies, and they do it in this too. But he starts off as like a child preacher. It's like he's raised religiously and he's like a kid and he's like, oh yeah, I know, I was in the paper back in the day, I was like this child that would do sermons and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so he grows up and become an exorcist, and like he leads his church and all this stuff, and he's just the whole time he's not believing what he's doing, because he's setting up stuff. He's like, mm-hmm. yeah, this is a fake device I have. I have this, I push a button and smoke comes out of this, you know. He's like, these are all tricks that I do because like they need the exorcism mentally to, because they're healthy, they're okay. They
so,
just,
so yeah. he's not conning people. He's trying to, in a sense, a placebo exorcism.
Yeah. yeah.
Because so, they're like mentally the ill, yeah. not possessed.
Yeah, and it's not even the fact, it's not even so much that they're mentally ill, it's just they're, at the moment, mentally afflicted.
Yeah.
It's like a temporary thing. It's like, they could be totally fine normally, but then they could just get in their head like, oh, yep, I'm possessed by a demon. And it's like, mm-hmm. oh, well, here you go, I'm going to fix you up. And he's like, he knows it's not really happening with them. But then, like, he decides he's going to do, like, this documentary with these people, and he's like, I'm going to come out, like, I'm going to show you guys all the tricks I do, and I'm just going to expose everything and just point it out for yeah. the fraud that it is. And on this trip, he's like, okay, so this is the last exorcism I'm going to do. And that leads into that mm-hmm. girl and that whole situation. And then stuff starts getting really creepy because this guy that's being skeptic and saying, like, you know, I don't believe this stuff, it's not real. All of a sudden, he's like, oh, crap. Stuff's getting real.
So is this because a lot of these things are loosely based on some event? Is this like that, or is this just complete fiction?
I think it's
so.
Just complete.
Fiction. It was by Eli Roth, actually.
Okay,
yeah. And it's that found footage kind of look too.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's like first person like camera. Yeah,
it's said to look like a documentary because that's the idea.
Yeah,
like,
he's surprisingly a good filmmaker. His stuff is all gonzo, but he's surprisingly. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't think of any other word right now, so I'll be inarticulate and say, for as dirty as his films look, mm-hmm. I enjoy them immensely.
No, I compare him to something like a Tarantino, where you see, like, he's a fan of, like, those old, maybe, like, grindhouse kind of films, yeah. and he pays tribute to that.
Yeah.
You know the movie that they made, that they were showing in the theater in Inglourious Basterds? Mm-hmm. Eli Roth mm-hmm. directed that movie in the setting yeah. of Inglourious Basterds, so totally.
That's
like,
awesome.
He works with Tarantino, yeah. Yeah. like, yeah. sometimes. And, I mean, he was in it
yeah.
as an actor. But, yeah, he directed that the German movie.
Which,
yeah.
side note, he's, I don't know if anyone, since we're talking about 70s cult films like uh-huh. Exorcist, anyone remember Death Wish at all with Charles Bronson? They just announced they're doing a remake, and Eli Roth is doing, he's directing
that's
it.
Awesome.
With Bruce Willis as...
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He's got to get his accent down. Hey, you. Yeah. That's what he used to say.
Yeah.
Use. I'm like, aren't those female animals of some sort? Use.
Oh, sheep?
Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
Hey, use.
Yeah, that's just a little sad. Now. He was the badass yeah. of the yeah. 70s. You know, you didn't mess with that guy. You
well,
crossed
you
him,
did.
That's it, you were
no,
dead.
No. They always mess
yeah,
with
well,
that guy.
Mistake, yeah.
like family members would be horribly, you know, mangled, and then he went, so you yeah. always messed with that guy and then died.
He was like the first live-action Punisher.
It's true.
You know,
yeah,
but I feel pretty solid that they probably based the Punisher off of him in some way.
I'll be really interested to see what this new Death Wish looks like, because... You know, always the bad guys were some minority group. I mean,
it's
it
true.
Was, it was
no,
the
it's
most.
Very true. It's a...
So I'm like, you were either of brown descent or yeah. darker than that descent. So it would be really interesting to see a movie trying to capture. Yeah.
Well, I saw the trailer this morning. The only person I saw getting tortured was, he looked like a biker kind of dude in a garage.
No, of course, they're all white guys.
Yeah, so they switched up kind of a little bit.
They'll
yeah.
chase.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah, the dude had a beard, yeah, longish hair. And there may have been a car that was dropped on top of him.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's Eli Roth.
May
so
or
there's going to be the violence that kicked up a notch.
So does Bruce Willis yeah. go what's his name? Iron Man.
Tony Stark?
Does he, no, the actor.
Robert Downey Jr.?
Does he go Robert Downey Jr. in Tropical Thunder over? Oh. Is he actually a Caucasian male?
Oh, no, no.
Yeah, okay. It's, yeah. Okay. Bruce Willis is still Bruce Willis as okay. we know him. You know? Instead of Die Hard, it's just Death Wish. Yeah, okay. But yeah. Sorry, to go on about yeah. The Exorcist.
So back just, to The Exorcist.
I blew my mind when you said
because you mentioned Eli Roth, and I was like, oh, man, I just saw that go today. Ahead, yeah.
Yeah. And something I was thinking, there's kind of like just a little connection kind of thing between that and The Exorcist series, or yeah, the new TV mm-hmm. show. He, I lost it. Now you're talking about Charles Bronson.
Oh, then that means that it wasn't as cool as you wanted it to be.
It was
then.
So good, and then he went on a 10-minute tangent.
It's called a podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's about religious people being skeptic about it. Like, like he's saying, like, I'm pretty sure, like, in the movie, I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure that afterwards he'd be like, yeah, you know, now you should go see this doctor because you just got your body's fixed. Now we got to make sure your brain is on the same level as your body. So he'd be, like, undercover sending them to therapists. And in, like, the first two episodes of The Exorcist, the new TV show, that happens. Like, in the first episode, it's one of the higher-ups from the church comes, and he's like, you need to take that boy to the hospital. He's like, no, don't do it. Like, I need to help him. And then in the second one, they're like, see, this video showing, like, what's wrong with my daughter, or what's wrong with her daughter. He's like, oh, she just needs a therapist, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a shifting to where the church was, in the back in the day, it seems more like they're like, yeah, you need the exorcism. And now it's like, back up. We're not trying to get any publicity with exorcism. Right. Take them to a doctor. You know, and yeah. It's like now when they actually need the exorcism. So it's kind of
yeah.
fundamental.
Yeah, it's true. In that first episode, like when she comes up, Gina Davis' character, Reagan comes up to the priest that they go to. She's like, sends out my daughter, my house is haunted, whatever. Like, and he's like, no, you know, I have a fan in my home, and the fan goes, ducka, 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 ducka. That's, like, that's what it is. Yeah. He tries to find, like, every excuse of, yeah. like, oh, yeah. well, you know what it is. Like, she was in a car accident. She's probably, it's in her head. It's like, no, no, it's a demon. It's like, okay. Like, you see in his face, it's like, a demon. She's crazy. And this is a guy preaching about the Lord every day. Uh-huh. Like, and right. he just doesn't want to believe her at all. Like, you totally see it. It's like, yeah. no, you're not right.
Yeah, but I mean, that part, you know, whenever I used to watch horror movies and you're like, there are 17 other houses in this neighborhood. Why are you going to the one that's boarded up, that's got the front door clink, clack, clack, clack? So you're like, well, that's a stupid plot to, you know, drive you into this. But the exorcism part, I kind of agree with, because you don't see it every day, but you see a lot of mentally ill people. Yeah. So what are you like, oh, it's all, you know, exorcism. Yeah. So that actually, I believe that's how it would be, and the frustration feels real. So yeah.
Plus, like, now that you know that she has experience because she was the person who was possessed, like, it almost kind of adds that other like dimension. Like, going back and rewatching episodes after you know that, and like picking up on, like, of course the church is going to be hesitant to do exorcisms when Reagan's mom kind of did this huge, like, publicity thing, and I'm sure that everything just, like, spiked after that. Like, if you think about it, like, I'm sure everyone was just like, I'm possessed, my daughter's possessed, and tried to hop on the bandwagon a little bit. Yeah.
Crowdfund my daughter's exorcism.
That would be an interesting idea.
GoFundMe.
It's like that one that one priest that was doing exorcisms over Skype on cell phones that he thought would be... Oh, yeah.
Did
you guys
really
didn't hear about that?
No.
Yeah.
In real life?
Yeah. Oh, there was, like, something about, like, I think it was two separate things. There was one priest that was convinced that there were cell phones that were being possessed by demons, and that's how they were trying to, you know, come into the world instead of through people, because presumably that's easier. but there's also someone who was charging money to do exorcisms over Skype.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to get an email from a Nigerian prince telling me I need an exorcism.
Yeah.
And send him some money.
Honestly, he needs it.
But then going back to Reagan, like, I'm going to probably get bashed for this, but I mean, really, if you went through that, like, should you really be having children after that? mean, you kind of like, that's kind of like, it's like the word, you know what I'm saying?
I'd actually find it hard to believe she could have children after that. Oh, yeah. I mean, the crucifix.
Yeah.
It wasn't a baby crucifix. Honestly. That was a decent-sized crucifix.
But it felt more topical. I don't think it.
Man, I don't know. Yeah.
My point is, okay, skipping yet. I'm just saying, like, should you be having kids after? No, the answer is no.
That's why she changed her name. That's why.
Yeah. Well, apparently she's learned her her lesson now that her daughter has been messed
up
for 6 episodes.
She should not have kids.
No.
It needs to end.
We need to end this setup.
No more exorcisms.
Actually, her husband got hurt too. It happened before the season started, but he has a head injury.
Yeah.
It's actually Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
I was trying to pin it.
It is.
I saw him.
That's perfect casting, because in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, he looked like he had a head injury, and that's
and was possessed.
Yeah,
he was just, I think that's just his.
Dead
he always
stare.
Had that dumb look.
I love just the character, but it's perfect casting. I haven't seen it, but I can see it. You know.
Oh yeah, he looks the exact same, just with gray hair.
Yeah. If Ferris Bueller, he was 35 years old already.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. He was in his 30s when that movie came out. Yeah.
What? I didn't know that.
Like Ralph Macchio was 98 when he was 16-year-old.
Yeah. Fact.
Yeah.
True story.
Yeah.
Karate
Miyagi,
Grandpa.
Mr. Miyagi was younger than he was. Not true story, but almost.
Don't believe him, Chase. Not everything is real.
By Karate Kid 3, he looked like...
It was a karate man.
Yeah.
It's like a karate senior. How did you become Miyagi like that? No.
So what other Exorcist movies are you guys fans of?
Well, I guess it kind of goes with demon possessions. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite campy possession movies was... it was a adaptation of H.P. Lovecraft's, instead of Mountains of Madness, it was In the Mouth of Madness.
Mm-hmm.
And it was with Sam, what's his name? Sam Neill? Yeah, from The Omen.
Mm-hmm.
And he, basically they end up in this town and people get possessed. And
that guy just has consistent demon problems.
Oh, he got typecast. I mean, but it was not like a hugely great movie, but It was so entertaining, and it was scary because it was a little while back, so I don't quite remember the story, but what I remember is his girlfriend or the lady friend that he had a romantic interest with gets possessed, and she just contorts, cracks backwards, her head turns around, and she's on all fours, but backwards. Mm-hmm. So her spine is the belly of the dog,
right?
And then she's like, "Do you love me now?" or something.
Oh my god!
Running out, running. And he's "What do you do? Shoot that?" You're like,
"Now,
now I do."
All my dreams have come true.
It's like,
wouldn't that make it worse?
It's just I remember scenes like whenever I think the most frightening thing, and I think this is the vehicle that filmmakers use, is just that contortion. You're just like, oh
yeah, and that crack,
oh,
that
totally.
Crack, that
crack. Yeah. It was the same in, I think someone brought up The Exorcism of Emily Rose. And
that was one of the best, back-breaking contortion scenes ever.
The best part of any exorcism movie or show is the actual exorcism itself, right?
Yeah.
Because that's when everything's happening. That's when stuff is flying around the room and all that. And of course, the back-breaking and everything. And that one, first of all, not only was the exorcism scene really long and really intense, out in the barn with that one single light, and all the voices coming out of her, but the fact that they looked at it from a legal standpoint, since it was half exorcism movie, half courtroom drama.
I bet our lawyer friend Josh Gilliland would love a take at that.
Do demons have rights? If you're non-corporeal, do you have physical rights?
Did you see that movie?
No. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Okay. I did. I started to. And I got to honestly tell you, I believe a lot of things I don't believe in. I won't get into it because it'll end my career. But there's a lot of things I don't believe in. The one thing that I absolutely believe in is spiritual apparitions.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in black magic. you know, I've experienced. Well, can we get into like our personal experiences with
most this? Definitely, because okay. This is where the cinematic aspect gets interesting, is when uh-huh. the personal experiences.
Yeah. What have you experienced?
So, had a friend back in post college, and he was, you know, he was one of these guys who was like a player, and he always had a good looking woman on his arms, and mm-hmm. and he, you know, his family had a little bit of money, and they owned the cabin, and they bought this cabin. The story goes, I don't really know the story. I'll just tell you what my experience, but the backstory was, this cabin, they bought this cabin for next to nothing. Mm-hmm. It's deep in the woods, deep in the woods. And I mean, so deep in the woods, there's like no street lights. It's like just barely paved road to the cabin.
I want to go there.
Yeah. Well,
I want to
the
go
dad
there.
Had started renovating it. I mean, it was a wreck, and stopped because he didn't feel comfortable there. So mm-hmm. he had let it sit there until his son, who's my friend, was old enough to start working on the, and he said, you know, if you want it, it's yours. I'm thinking, what a great dad, right? Just go get yourself killed. You know?
Right.
So he goes in there, and no, I mean, they were a good family, but he goes there and he starts working on this thing. And he invites myself and, you know, there's two ladies, there's four of us. And
sounds like a perfect horror film already.
Yeah, yeah. No, it really was. And so we go to this cabin. And, you know, I can go the long way, but I'm just going to give you the short story. We go there, you know, the deck had no planks, so you couldn't get out of one side of the deck door. And so there was a lot of hazards to this place.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, you know, his whole goal was to try to scare me in front of the ladies. And so, you know, we were young, so...
Macho.
You know, I'm trying not to be scared. Uh-huh. So while all this is going on... this was an amazingly big cabin. I mean, it wasn't that big, but there was a lot of little rooms in there. So to get to the restroom that works, you had to go through this room that had all of these things filled. And I don't know till this day if it was true or not, but he said these are still belongings from the last owners. Well, apparently in this cabin, a boy had died or something terrible had happened to him. And so he would tell us about this spirit that, you know, haunted this cabin. And I thought up to that point, I did not believe, or certainly I didn't give it much thought. It wasn't like I was dogmatically not mm-hmm. believing. I'm just like, whatever. But I get in there and he's telling me this, and he's telling all of us this, and the girls are all scared and they're, you know, huddling up close. Anyways, I go to the bathroom. The first thing I see is there's this mirror, this old gilded framed mirror, beautiful mirror. And yeah, it's just out of horror. And I walk by. And I have anti-reflective lenses in my glasses. I don't get glares. And I get this whoosh, like I see it from the side in the mirror. I look over and there's nothing there. I kept seeing this here and there from the corner as if it's a reflection mm-hmm. on lenses that has no reflection.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that happened. And I'm talking to him about it, and now he's kind of getting freaked out and he's settling down. We have dinner. We go to a bar afterwards to get some drink. You know, we're young, so more drinks.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, all the wine glasses and all the, like, anything that had, like, with the water glasses, they were all scooted right into the center of the dining table. And I took a notice of it because all the candles were on. And I'm thinking, this guy is effing with me. Now I'm getting pissed. Because I am freaking out a little bit. Because I'm seeing, you know, the shadows mm-hmm. in the corner of my eyes. And so I'm like, stop busting my balls. You know, I'm going to kind of lose it in front of these girls. And I don't want that to happen.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, I didn't do that. I did not do that. I'm like, whatever.
I did not do that, Mark.
I'm not believing this guy. Because I can't believe it. Because now if I believe it, I got to run out of there screaming like a 12-year-old girl. So I'm like, you're an a-hole. And, you know, I'm not believing in this. So we go into another room that had the TV. It was an unfinished bedroom. So we had the TV there. And while we're watching the TV, all of a sudden we hear crash. We walk. I walk out. You know. So he's like, "Can you go check that out?" I'm like, "What?"
Oh, that's so rude.
He asked me this in front of two very lovely ladies. I'm like, okay, I got it. So like, I walk out. And this was a very old cabin, like built in the like the 1918 or 1928. So, the ironing board was one of these boards that were in the wall, door. And that thing had come out. So how the dining room table was the head of it was at where this ironing board was. So all, remember what I told you, is all the stemware and stuff were pushed to the center, and this thing had hit it and literally shattered every single glass. Every single glass. And I'm like, Sean, get your butt out of here. And he comes out, he goes, okay. He's like, okay, all joking aside, now we've disturbed something. And I said, well, you know, I'm trying not to freak out. I'm like, well, it's just the, you know, ironing board thing. And if you push, he goes, I didn't push that there. I didn't turn on the candle. And let me tell you something else. That thing had been painted over so many years, for so many times. I couldn't get a razor blade to cut through the paint to remove that, to repair it. So I left shortly after that. I'm like, ladies, have a good night. Gone.
Game over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
Game over, man.
And that wasn't the only time, but it was the most entertaining of all the stories and the most succinct. And so ever since then, I'm just like, you know,
there's something.
I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to let you handle it, and I will be on the other side of the city.
Deal.
How about you guys?
Oh, that's crazy. Well, for me growing up, I'm very much like yourself. Like, I've been believing in, like, there's something out there, you know, kind of mentality since I was a child. And my parents are always very open to those kind of things. So, open religion, open to everything. And like I said, my grandmother practiced Santeria, just like Sublime did. Yeah. But
but he didn't.
But he didn't. Yeah. But she did. Okay. And so there was always that heavy belief. But since that was practiced in my household, my mom never wanted to touch it. She's like, dark shit happens. Yeah. And she had her own situations that would happen, which, like, quick backstory for my mother of why this creeped into my life was she had a dream when she was like probably 14 years old in her home alone. Mm-hmm. She was walking around the house. She heard something and she turns around, sees something in a mirror, and there's this demon in the mirror. She turns around, no demon, looks back, demon in the mirror, turns around, demon's there. Wakes up, obviously scared shitless. And her grandmother's like, all right, I'm going to fix this. Does her little black magic stuff, put something under the bed and everything, and tries to take care of it. Next day, fully awake now, everything that she dreamed the night before is now happening.
Oh.
So now she's hearing the sound. She's walking down the hallway. She looks in the mirror, sees the demon face, wide awake, like, you know, just all by herself. And it's the exact same thing. So now she's... Once it fully completes, she runs into her room, locks the door. This is the 70s. There are no cell phones or everything. Right. She's just waiting like 8 hours until a parent comes home.
Oh my God.
Okay. Grandmother and the grandfather come home and they're like, Desiree, why are you in the bedroom? And she's like, it happened. The dream happened.
Yeah.
And so now, like, there's full-blown candles and everything. My mother tells me this story.
Somebody's getting sacrificed that night.
Yeah, you know. My mother tells me this story because of a story I ended up having to tell her when I was around like 6-7 years old. We live in this apartment building. It's like a house turned into.
Yeah.
You know, kind of converted. Yeah. So we're living on the third floor that used to be an attic.
Yeah.
So it got converted into an apartment.
Yeah, they're called flats.
Yeah.
Yeah, flats. Yeah.
So we're in there for about a year or two or whatever. We notice in the wall there's actually this hidden door. So we're like, oh, cool, little hidden door. What does this go to? Uh-huh. And we end up like scraping it down, opening it up, and there's like this dingy room. Like, you could tell this room's never been opened, you know, for who knows how many years. Mm-hmm. And so it has like this old wooden, like almost like rotting kind of look to it. And there's chains in there. This isn't creepy at all.
Oh my gosh.
You know? So we do that. We look in there. I think it's super cool. My dad uses it for whatever.
George, look, you got a bedroom now.
If only. I did offer it for my little brother when he was born. It's like, why can't he have that room? But some days pass. I'm now alone. in the home because my parents went to get pick something at the corner store real quick, and they're going to be back like 5-10 minutes. It's like nothing.
And you were six?
So like I'm like 6-7 years old. I'm in my room playing with my toys or whatever. I hear some sounds. I was like, what is that? And I'm like, whatever. It's I don't pay much mind to it. But then all of a sudden I hear something again. I look up, and there's a girl at my doorway. A blonde girl with like a white dress or whatever.
Was she hot?
Huh? No, it was like probably my age.
Oh, okay. Never
so mind. Not even thinking of hotness at that point in time.
Was this girl in my room?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, my Lego.
Okay. And this again, I'm wide awake, not dreaming or anything. But I'm scared, of course. So I was like, I just stayed there, did not move. My parents come home. My mom sees me. She's like, hey, what's wrong with you? And she's like, I have not moved. Eventually, I explained to her what happened.
Was the girl still there when they came
on
the ship?
No, eventually went away. But I was just there.
How'd she go away?
Still, she walked away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Our doors are locked. There's no way someone's coming in. And so I told my mom what happened eventually. And she's like, okay. She's like, don't worry. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. Later on that night, I sleep. I wake up in the middle of the night. And then I see her again, and she starts walking into my room. I call my mom this time, and she came in and protected me.
Did this happen very shortly after you moved in?
This was like probably like 2 years of living there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, So, there was an apparition in the room right now. No, so I tell her this. So she explains to me now. This is when she really starts laying in, like, what she, the belief of our family. And she tells me her story. And I was like, okay, well, that explains a lot. So this is real. This, like, what I saw was real. Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy. She's like, you're not crazy. This stuff, it's like,
well,
it's,
both things could be true.
It could be true. Yeah. Yeah. But my parents were very open though, to that. They weren't going to be like, go to the psych ward, you know? Where it gets weird though for me is like, as I grew up, we'd move to different places. And I would still see a spirit come to my room of a blonde lady with a white dress, but the person would be older with every place I went to.
Does your wife know this?
I think I told the story, yeah.
No. Does she know that you've got a blonde lady following you everywhere you go in your bedroom? I'm just wanting to know.
As an adult, I could say probably when I reached 24-ish, it stopped happening. But up until like in my 20s, that apparition grew as I moved to every different. We moved a lot. Mm-hmm. So it was always this weird thing. It's like, there is a thing that is coming with me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was like my occurrence of something, of one situation that happened over time. And my mother told me her thing. It's like, to make me feel better. But really, all I did was just like, that's great. There's creepy things out there that are going to come after us when we're alone.
Oh my God.
Thank you. And you don't practice the magic anymore because you said you don't want to have that in our life. Thumbs up.
What if that was what brought it into life? What if someone to blame? What
that's the thing. Who knows? I don't know.
You should start blaming people.
my grandmother's dead, so I can't. There's not much I can do about
that. It is 2017. You need someone to blame.
Abuela!
Look at your abuela's abuela. It could have gone way back.
Westria, yeah, because it was her grandmother that did it. So it was my great grandmother.
Mm.
Yeah. And my grandmother did it. Her great grandmother did it. It the whole lineage. It stopped at my mom. Mom's like, I'm not doing that. No.
So it's too late, Mom. Just roll with it.
Yeah. Cut some chickens up.
Let's fix this.
So what you guys, what are your creepy occurrences?
They lived in new houses, George. You and I lived in old houses.
Actually, the house that I grew up in was owned by a mortician at one point.
Oh, cool.
But I mean, I'm assuming he did not work from home because that would make things
a little bit difficult.
Yes. Maybe. Maybe.
Dinner, he's just embalming some bodies.
Yeah.
In the lobby.
You know, just wipe off the table.
In the foyer.
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything that fancy, but.
Yeah, but I mean, from what I understand about, you know, spirits and ghosts and poltergeists, again, I'm going to butcher all this. This is all like surface tertiary things that I know. Mm-hmm. It's not actually the spirit of the human being or the soul of the human being. Mm-hmm. It was explained to me, again, this, you know, everybody, it seems like there's a lot of different camps, but it was explained to me, like, you have your soul, and then you have, while you're on this planet, the reason why you're not dead is because all this like you know, Eastern metaphysical people say they're, you know, earth energies. Mm-hmm. They hold you down here. It's the thing that, you know, can make you sick. It's the thing that can make you desire certain things. Or if you have a certain, you know, like personalities are kind of developed by the things that you let in the physical world. And when you're ripped from it, like when you don't die properly and when things aren't orderly, like given their exit orders, right. It's kind of like you've got this, you know, the soul gets ripped out of there and then the energy still kind of is intact. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that it doesn't know how to disperse. So it that's one type of spiritual, like, and then there's poltergeists and, you know, and then there's demons that, you know, so, but often nonviolent, I was told, again, I'm not an expert at this at all, but I was told that the nonviolent apparitions that you'll see, ghosts, mm-hmm. they are actually the earthly energies that you never properly got disposed of.
Mm-hmm. It serves like as an echo of what you used to be.
Yeah. But, you know, usually it happens because it doesn't have to be necessarily tragedy, but it's certainly... something that is, you know, that wasn't naturally disposed of.
Yeah.
Nothing for you?
Was there more about the...
No, I've never had anything happen to me directly other than, like, that sleep paralysis. If you've ever had that, it's where
I think I know exactly
like,
what you're talking about, and it's creepy as hell.
Oh, it's super creepy.
It's happened
creepy.
To me before.
Yeah. It happened to me actually kind of recently, like over the past like year, and it had never happened to me before.
It's called Comic-Con, okay?
That's why we didn't see you for a week.
Yeah,
it all makes sense
exactly.
Now.
I was recovering.
Comic-Con
from,
demons, got it.
Yeah, the Comic-Con demons.
Todd McFarlane Spawn!
No, it's where like your body is like asleep but your mind is like awake, and basically you're awake but you physically cannot move, but if you open your eyes you might see something there. For me it wasn't that I saw anything, I just like I woke up and I couldn't move and I just felt like there was something next to me. Oh. And I felt like it was like this enormous like sense of dread, and I don't know what this says about me, but what I wanted to do, because I was laying on my side and I had my hands like up close to my chest, I immediately wanted to just punch outward, even though I obviously that wouldn't do anything if it was an actual like demon, but I couldn't move.
I don't know. No one ever tries punching a demon. Everyone runs. Maybe that could be the solution.
Maybe
there's a good punch in the mouth. Ow.
Maybe that's why I couldn't, because it was like I can't get punched. I'm screwed if I do.
I'll be that demon that ruined everything.
Right. I'll be the
Harold
demon
got
that punched in the jaw. Now we can't possess people anymore.
Good job, Eugene the demon. Yeah, ruined everything.
It was a really weird, kind of terrifying few minutes, and then it just felt like everything stopped and I could open my eyes and like move again, just sort of all at once. But other than that, I've never had anything happen to me, but it seems like almost everyone I know has some kind of story. And it's like there's some people where you can kind of look at it and be like, yeah, okay, you're kind of full of shit. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people where it's like...
Chase, that's not you. Chase, it's not you.
Don't take it personal.
But there's a lot of people that it's like they would not make something like that up. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I don't think that you're making up that story.
I wouldn't want to.
Right. So it kind of puts me in this weird place where, like, I have no experiences myself, but, like, I've heard so many that it's like, I don't know what to believe. Maybe if we go to some haunted places, I will finally find a ghost.
That's what we need to do.
I used a Ouija board one time.
Oh, F that and to be. No way. No Ouija boards.
The guy I was dating at the time got, he kept waking up with scratches on him from one thing. This was separate from the time that I used it. He used it with his roommates, and then weird shit kept happening to him. The only thing that I talked to when I was using the Ouija board was a little spirit that said its name was Melt, and it didn't know a lot of answers to questions and said it was just there to say hi. I thought that was kind of cute, a little ghost named Melt.
Melted here. Yeah. I don't know much.
We're just like, did you melt?
I imagine it was like, it's no. Like the personality of like this guy from Split. You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, yeah. It's the same name, I think, like as the owl in Harry Potter.
Hedwig?
Yeah.
Yes, Hedwig.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't watch
Hey, guys, it's me, Hedwig. I'm just here to hang out. Melt.
Yeah. Doesn't know much. Yeah. He can say hi.
I never believed in Ouija's, not for any other reason except it's like, it's made by Hasbro.
Right.
Well, now it is, yeah. I know,
there's, you know, you can get like the NFL Ouija.
Yeah.
You know, they like
it's like Monopoly editions of Ouija board.
So it's kind of like, okay, whatever there was, even the demons are going, whatever, man.
I don't know if Nintendo's done this, but they should do a Mario and Luigi board. That would be solid.
They could tie it in with Luigi's Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
Do they have Luigi's Haunted
Mansion?
Yeah. It's like a video game. They can make some money like that.
Yeah.
You gotta, copyright that now.
Mm-hmm.
Get that patent. So we have talked in the past. Chase hasn't experienced anything yet, but we're hoping in the near future he can get something happen to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Metaphysical, not so physical, though.
I'll take what I get.
You know, some of this stuff is like, we're going to be going on for our, you know, a little plug for our Famous Monsters Halloween convention. One of the things that we're doing is really kind of embracing the paranormal, ghost hunting, ghost investigating industry.
We have a lot of it in the Bay Area.
Yeah, there's a ton of it in the Bay Area. And, you know, from Winchester Mystery House to a ton of probably far less known, but far more prominent.
Yeah.
How would I say it? Well, prominent is not the right word, but more like poignant incidences. Mm. You know, there's like... Their serial killers have been caught and hung. There's been, you know, there's endless stories. I can't, they're all kind of jumbled in my mind right now, but.
Yeah, you mentioned about like cemeteries and like hollow ground and stuff like that.
Well, even like wineries, you know, if you think about with these wineries, some of them are on like, you know, Indian burial grounds and some
Dude,
of them
all
are,
of downtown Sonoma is right on top of a
burial ground.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's exactly.
Like literally underneath the road next to that mission right on
downtown
square.
Area. Oh wow. Yeah. Yeah. So, whoops. You know, there's
whoopsie.
Yeah.
Bad planning. So... City planner fired.
Yeah. Or gone missing, possessed.
Never seen again.
So, you know, I think Northern California has always had an amazing history and it's going to be a great time, us going out there and investigating the investigators. So.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
My main goal is to stay the night at some haunted places. Because I know there's always like night tours of stuff.
Yeah.
Like I want to actually sleep there. Like I want to go there like right when the sun's going down and don't leave until the sun's coming up.
Bring extra pairs of shorts.
I don't think I'll need them.
Hope you bought your shitting pants. Yeah, we're pretty excited for that. I'm with you. Like, it's weird. Like, as much as like I believe I've experienced things, I still want to see more.
I'm cool with it starting from somewhere around September, but I want it out of my life by Turkey Month. By November 1st, don't talk to me about it. I don't want to think about it because I can handle it for like 4 to 6 weeks. I just don't think I want that in my life for 12 months.
Plus,
by then you'll be possessed by a whole other thing of like MSG and stuff.
Yeah.
Possessed by the turkey. I am horror 24/7, 365, though.
Mm-hmm.
I want all that stuff all the time. There's not enough.
Are you going to... You should become like the modern Van Helsing.
That would be so cool.
Oh, my God.
Dad,
or
we get to scare Chase every day. Yeah. That's what I just heard. Yeah. I heard that we get to scare Chase every day.
Yeah, but jump scares are dumb, though.
I'm about that creepiness, baby.
Yeah,
I'm going to get you in your brain, all right?
Yeah, creepy stuff.
You're going to go home and there's going to be like a hand under your pillow.
Oh, my goodness.
But there
a real
won't
one?
Be a hand under your pillow.
Oh, my God.
It'll just be George.
It'll be George's hand. I'll lift up the pillow. It'll slowly pull away. Like, George? He'll be like, no.
Shh, I'm not here.
Why are you in my bed? And where's my wife?
It's late.
It's dark. I don't know how to get home. Which, side note, it is super creepy where you live. Just want to say that right now.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to say where it is, you know, for your safety. But, oh, my God.
Yeah,
you live in a horror story.
It's like a country setting. It's like long, like mile-long roads.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily creepy. It looks, it's remote. That's what it is.
That makes it creepy.
Dark.
Well, I mean, the fact that you got a freaking wheat field that you got to drive through to get. It's like, who grows wheat in the wine country?
I'm waiting for Malachi to come out of nowhere and be like,
why not Malachi here?
Somebody needs to tell your neighbor. Somebody needs to tell your neighbor that wheat doesn't bring in as much as grapes. I'm just saying, like, it's a little weird. It's a little out of place.
Not to mention it gets so foggy around here.
Oh, I love
it. I know. That's my favorite.
Oh, fog is great.
Just want everyone know, no one can see this, but me and Phil are giving you guys like some looks like you like desolate areas, fog, creepiness. Okay, something's wrong with you guys.
Or something is clearly right with us.
Yeah,
we know what's going on.
Well, I mean, I think the part of the history is, you know, there was a lot of, you know, the even prior to U.S. history, when these were, even prior to this being U.S. territory, I mean, you know, the mm-hmm. Spanish conquistadors. I mean, there was a lot of battle and violence and death mm-hmm. in the western part of the country.
Built on blood.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, again, you know, I don't necessarily glorify that, but you know, the history happened, and it's just fantastic mm-hmm. to just dig into it. And every time I hear a little bit more about, like, you know, what, you know, history books tell you kind of a glossed over Charlie Brown version of it, and you're like, wow, this guy was evil.
Wah, 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 slice his throat. Wah, 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 decapitation.
Yeah.
No, it is fun stuff, and I'm super excited for us to cover more of this at the Famous Monsters Halloween Convention this fall, which, if anyone is curious about that, go to our website at Famous Monsters Halloween or Famous Monsters Conventions. And you'll find out everything you need to know there, what guests we're having, what events we're doing. It's shaping up to be a pretty exciting show. Yeah. If you got to go to our past shows, I think this one's going to blow the other ones out of the water. I'm super pumped for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think we got, you know, for years, we felt like there was a certain format we had to follow. And really, at the end of the day, I think we're just creating a show that we want to go to.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
We've exercised our demons.
We're taking back Halloween. Oh, it's ours totally. Now. Well, yeah, that wraps up, I think. Oh, wait, no.
Well, this area is so, like, rich in just, aside from, like, all, like, the paranormal and the ghost stuff, there's so many horror movies that kind of, like, are rooted in this area, like The Birds and Scream and, like, there's actually a video store in Santa Rosa that has like a giant mural on the side that has all the movies like set.
Ooh,
set
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Video Droid. And I feel like this area
is, by the way, good for them. Who the heck still got a video store?
Yeah. I know, they're awesome.
They're
too.
Like kicking Netflix. I mean, if you can survive in the midst of the Netflix, you know,
streaming Netflix, everything you want from your phone era.
I mean, my girlfriend and I go there all the time because it's like, yeah, Netflix has a ton of movies, but
it doesn't have all of them.
But do they have Hatchet 3?
Yeah.
Probably
right,
not.
Right. Sometimes you just have to watch Hatchet 3, but
sometimes you just have to watch it.
We're horror movie fans. They don't have, there's not a ton of like good horror on Netflix. Like there's definitely some, but like
it's back catalog, it's lacking.
I got to tell you, man. I loved Netflix is great for what it is, and I'm glad that, you know, my kids and everybody else, including me, just with a click of a button can get whatever you want. But there is a beauty to rarity and inaccessibility to things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just remember, like, even, I tell the story all the time, but, you know, when I was a kid, I bought this like single recorder deck and I used to have it next to my clock radio. And when the song would play, I would pray that my mother wouldn't come and open it like, dinner, you know, because then you'd screw it up. Or so there's a rarity to it. Things cost, and people got paid to do what they were doing, and it was... You know, and so you had to go buy a record if you wanted it. You had to go, you know, rent a VHS tape. I just remember going on dates, and we either went to the movies or we went to the video store, and you would spend like half an hour to an hour.
Oh, totally.
Perusing. It was like being in the library or Barnes and Noble.
It's legitimately fun.
Yeah.
Like we go there all the time, and we have like a legitimately fun. Like we get like three movies at a time. And they have actually a pretty good selection.
No, they got a huge selection. Yeah. So I mean, I totally miss that. And you know, I don't know if, you know, this new generation can possibly understand that feeling that you get from being able to find something because you're on a quest for something rare.
This Netflix and chill era doesn't get the blockbuster and walk around for an hour and stumble upon something you didn't expect to watch night.
Yeah. And I've seen some
and
really...
And stay out of the XXX room.
Not that way. Not those. But like I remember like even Blockbuster, which had the weird tendency of physically censoring a lot of its horror movies.
Especially the black bars ones
for some reason. There was so much like when Japanese horror was like a really big thing, when everyone was like super excited about Ringu and Ju-on and everything. They had a huge Asian horror section, and so many of them, like Ichi the Killer, totally censored. Which sucks because I was really excited to watch it because I'm super into that and like Audition and everything. But like we found like one time, like my friends and I found this little it was like a little anthology set of like short films, almost sort of like VHS, but it was Japanese horror. And the first one was about like a spider woman, but in going into that story, there was like this underpass that they were talking about right at the beginning, where there was a ghost of a lady that would run at you really fast, and she was called Turbo Hag.
You told me about this before.
Yeah. Which is really funny to just like Turbo Hag. Like
precursor to the Power Rangers, of course.
Well, there was Rita Repulsa, there was Turbo Hag.
But no, I mean, it was like none of us had ever heard of that. We hadn't researched it before. We just found it and was like, this looks fun. And now we have Turbo Hag forever.
It's very amazing. You know, as a filmmaker, I learned what would have a broadest audience. And it's always action movies and horror. It crosses all... Because what scares me scares... the guy in South Africa, and what scares the guy in Egypt scares me. Like it's a pretty it's the other universal language. And so, you know, I think it's fantastic. I love, you know, learning why something would be scary in you know, the Middle East, let's say, and then realizing, oh, okay, now I understand. Oh, now it's scary to me. You know, so
it is pretty cool. Well, like Blockbuster, we also have to go.
Wow.
With the power of Christ, I compel the rest of this. As always, I'm George, and with me today is Eleni.
Hi. Bye.
He's not here.
Demon Phil. And Chase. Chase, can you tell people where they can follow us?
FMOFL on Facebook, or just search Famous Monsters of Filmland and we'll pop up there. Twitter and Instagram, just at Famous Monsters, all one word. Go find us there.
Yeah, and if you want to watch our new FMTV show, where can they find out, Phil?
They can go to Famous Monsters channel. You have to put channel in there because we've been around for so long and there are so many tribute sites. But if you go to Famous Monsters channel, you can catch this podcast on there. You can catch our TV segments, and you can catch all of our wonderful digital-only content that we've been putting up. So, and please subscribe because that helps.
That'll be on YouTube?
That's on YouTube, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks. Catch us there. Good night.
Good night.